Are you ready? All right. Well, praise the Lord. And glad y'all are here this evening. If you would, stand if you can. We're going to sing, He Has Made Me Glad. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome those of you here and those of us that are online. Sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to You the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to You the sacrifices of joy. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to You the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to You the sacrifices of joy. And we offer up to You the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to You the sacrifices of joy. Amen. Thank you. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor your word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, oh that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
Amen.
Take my life, lead me, Lord. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Make my life useful to Thee. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Take my life, lead me, Lord. Make my life useful to Thee. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Make my life useful to Thee. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Take my life, teach me, Lord. Make my life useful to Thee. Here am I, send me, Lord. Here am I, send me, Lord. Make my life useful to Thee. Here am I, send me, Lord. Here am I, send me, Lord. Make my life useful to Thee.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody got a pick of him this evening? A tune you've been thinking of, or a lyric or a song you've been thinking of? Yes, Miss Vicky. 626. Lily of the Valley, yeah, 626. That's a good one.
I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. In sorrow he's my comfort, in trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He all my griefs has taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn with my heart, and now he keeps me by his power. Through all the world forsake me, and Satan tempt me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. A wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna he my hungry soul shall fill. Then sweeping up to glory, I'll see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Amen. Any others? No others? All right. Praise the Lord.
Let's see here. Good to see each and every one of you this evening. What do we have for praises tonight? Praises. Yeah, Penny. Uh-huh. Yeah. Amen. Very good. Not hurt. Trent, not hurt. You're in car wreck. All right, all right. Any other praises? Okay. Way to go, Debbie. Time with family, that's good praise. What else, what else? Anybody else with a praise tonight? Think back there on the computer there, Jeremiah? Nothing? Okay, brother. All right, we'll flip it over to prayer requests. Anybody have one? Yes. All right, got you. Okay. Yeah. Amen, amen. Very good. And we're praying that you, we'd want to pray that you guys would find you another car, huh? Amen. Nice. It'd be nice, amen. That insurance.
Nice,
yeah. Now, I've tried to tell people before, and I'll go ahead and tell you now, and the insurance company exists to, of course, give you coverage, but they exist to make money for their shareholders. So I've often told people, and some people have taken me up on the advice, and some people just kind of roll over when the insurance calls, but never take their first offer. Never.
And if anyone has ever considered buying a Honda Civic, it's a safe car.
Yeah, amen.
It's a very safe car.
Yeah. Amen. But you can normally get 10 to maybe 12% more out of the insurance company if you just stick with your guns. Tell them, no, it was a nice car. Nope. You need to call your boss. Have your boss call me. We can't take that much for it. They've got a point. They've got a point they can go to, so you just need to keep pushing them to that point. Amen. Has anybody ever done that? Yeah. Terry, have you ever done that with a car? Yeah, amen. Amen. Yes, Mr. Leedy, you have a prayer request. Oh, amen. Yeah. Ash is back with us. From the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. Amen. Want to continue to pray for our other Ronnie Holman, his cancer fight. All All right, all right. What else? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Bob, so Bob's wife on hospice. Yes. She'd make it on through that valley. All right, all right. You got it. What else? Any other prayer requests? Yeah, John? Yes, fall festival tomorrow? Yes. Yes, amen. And a lot of folks are doing their deal tonight. Saw a couple of trunk or treats. Some did it yesterday, yeah. Fall festival tomorrow night, trick or treat. Yeah, man. They're going to make a three-day candy draw out of it. Amen. Keep the candy flowing, right? Keep the dentist in business, Fall Festival tomorrow night. All right, trick-or-treat kids, you got it. What else, what else? All right, let's continue to pray for Ukraine. Continue to pray for the elections. Those with unspokens, yeah. Anybody have another request? Yes, Terry? Okay. Uh-huh. Where it's at, yeah, sure. Amen. Amen, amen. Good word. Good word, good word. And then another hand. Yes, ma'am, Miss Alita. Oh, Mike Whisper, yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Brother John, do you have another one? Yes, sir? Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah, and then about that many injured, top of that, yeah. South Korea stampede. Yeah, that's an awful tragedy. Awful, awful. Very good, South Korea. Anything else? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight, shall we? Let's do it. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you this evening, Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you for loving us, Lord, and for saving us. Thank you that we can gather tonight and sing songs to your name, Lord, bring glory and honor to who you are, and seek to worship you in spirit and truth. And Lord, as we come together tonight, we just thank you for all that you've done for us, all that you're doing for us, all that you promised to do for us in the future. Lord, we just give you the praise and the glory and the adoration that is due your holy name. We thank you for all that you are supplying us, how you're helping us, how you're seeing us through, Lord. It's a great, great testimony of your care and your devotion towards us. So we praise you and we thank you for that tonight. Lord, as we lift these other praises up to you, we're thankful that Trent was not seriously injured, Lord, in this car accident. totaling out his car and missing that deer, Lord, we're just thankful. Lord, we're thankful that only the car was destroyed, but not the human occupant. So we just give you the praise and the glory for that. And Lord, we just pray that you give Trent a sense that it was not by chance that he was spared, but that, Lord, you have a plan and a purpose for his life. So, Lord, we're thankful for that. Lord, we're thankful for Debbie's prayer request that she got to spend some time with family, Lord. It's always good to get together with folks that we love and want to be with. So, Lord, we're thankful for that. And, Lord, we're thankful for Ashley being here tonight. We praise you for that. Have visitors with us on a Sunday evening, Lord. So we praise you for that as well. Lord, as we think about our prayer requests, we do pray for Ashley and Trent as they go through the insurance process of getting a check, getting funds for to pay off or pay out the car that they possessed, and then, Lord, try to get another vehicle. We pray you'd open the door for that and just lead, guide, and direct them, help them get exactly what they need for what they've got to do. So, Lord, we just pray you be with them every step of the way on that situation. We lift up Ronnie to you tonight, Lord, and we pray for Ronnie Vaculik. We pray for his feet, and we pray for his shoulders, and we pray for the ringing in his ears, Lord, and we just pray for the pain that he lives with each and every day. We pray that you would ease that, Lord, and you would give him moments and hours and perhaps even a day, Lord, where it's not near as bad, Lord, where it's more bearable. Father God, we pray somehow, some way, these doctors would figure out how to remove some of this pain and lessen some of it for him. But, Lord, we just pray you give him the grace and the strength to go through what he's got to go through with all he's going through right now. So, Lord, we lift him up to you. We lift up Ronnie Holman to you tonight. We pray him for his cancer fight. And, Lord, we pray in that these chemotherapy drugs are doing their job and eradicating and removing and shrinking and destroying this cancer that's in his body. Lord, we're praying for a miracle healing. We're praying for a testimony of healing, Lord. We're praying that you just deliver Ronnie back to us and back to full health as this cancer leaves his body. So, Lord, we lift Ronnie up to you tonight. Pray that you help him with that cancer fight. And then Marjorie Stone's prayer request, former pastor Bob, his wife on hospice, Lord. We pray that you just help her ease into eternity, Lord. We pray there not be any kind of great suffering or pain. That, Lord, you just receive her with open arms. Be with Bob as he sees her transition, Lord, across that valley of the shadow of death. And encourage him in the midst of his grief, in the midst of his loss, and, Lord, that hole that he feels with his wife being gone, Lord, we pray you just fill it with your presence and your love for him and encouragement to see him through. Lord, we do lift up the Fall Festival to you tonight, the one here at this church and the Fall Festivals all across the community, Lord, that Halloween alternative where it's not about scaring the kids but about just enjoying the kids and loving on the kids and just being friendly to the kids. So, Lord, we're praying for all the fall festivals, not just this one here, but all over the community. We pray they'd be great successes. We pray that they'd be great gifts to the community, Lord, that it'd be a good outreach event for each church that's participating in it. And, Lord, we pray for safety, certainly safety here on this campus, but safety elsewhere, especially with the kids trick-or-treating, Lord, crossing streets and running around, trying to get all the candy they can. Lord, we pray that you would give those children, give them pause and give them discernment when it's time to cross the street, when it's not. And, Lord, we just pray that those drivers that are out tomorrow night, you just give them great vigilance and give them great acuity as they drive these roads, that they not run over or hit any of these kids out trick-or-treating. Lord, we pray for those that are wanting to terrorize children or scare children. We pray that, Lord, that not happen, that they not be able to pull that off, that, Lord, you just have other plans and that's not part of it. So, Lord, we pray for protection tomorrow night. We pray for your encouragement and your help tomorrow night. Lord, we certainly pray for safety tomorrow night. Lord, as we continue to pray for the people of Ukraine, we lift them up to you. We pray for their continued strength and their continued will to want to drive out the Russian aggressor. Lord, we just pray you undergird them and help them. Just anoint their efforts, Lord, to drive out the aggressor and get the Russians back on their side of the border. Lord, we pray that loss of life would certainly be less and not more. And Lord, we pray that there might be consequences for President Putin and grave consequences, Lord. We pray that there might even be a regime change there. And Lord, you might remove him and put somebody with more sense, with more civility, with more humanity. You might put somebody in office there, Lord, that that thinks more highly of other people than they do of themselves. So, Lord, we're praying for a turnaround in that part of the world. We're thankful for Samaritan's Purse. We're thankful for this field hospital, Lord. We're praying for its protection. We're praying in the midst of that field hospital that lives would be saved, physical lives, that limbs would be repaired and not cut off, that eyes would be saved and hands and feet and all of that, Lord. But ultimately, we're praying that souls would be saved in the midst of all that over there. And that, Lord, you would use Samaritan's Purse to sow that gospel seed into that fertile ground and that fertile heart of those Ukrainian people. And Lord, in the midst of all that pain and suffering, you might bring about glory to your name as there are soldiers and soldiers' families and different folks come to a saving knowledge of who Jesus is. Lord, we continue to pray for our elections here. Thank you for the opportunity to vote. What a privilege and honor it is, Lord, to be a part of a representative democracy. And so, Lord, we're thankful for that. But God, we pray that the people, the Christian people, would see the importance of these midterm elections and would get out, would pray before they go, would be praying even now, and would pray a Christian conscience as they cast those votes and as they turn in those ballots. So, Lord, we lifting up those elections, we're praying for a big Christian impact this midterm cycle. Lord, the unspokens that were represented by hands lifted up, Lord, we're thankful for them. And Lord, we're thankful that you hear us and thankful that you know exactly what's going on. And thankful, Lord, that your timing is perfect and thankful that you're not against us but for us. So, Lord, we just give you these unspoken requests one more week and we just praise you and thank you for how you're working. Even though we don't know it sometimes, you're still working. And you're always working, you're always helping us. And so, Lord, we just continue to put those unspoken requests up to you. We pray for Brother Mike, and we're praying for Miss Carla, and we're praying for Brother Mike's situation there in the long-term care facility. Lord, we pray that you give him some good days, and you give him some good nights, and just give him some good times with his grandkids and his children, Lord, and his wife, as he's right here in the twilight of his life and dealing with this dialysis and in many strokes and broken bones and all of that that's going on with him, God. We just pray that you help him, you see him through, and you just give him the grace to withstand what he's got to go through. But Lord, we're thankful for Brother Mike's ministry. We're thankful for all the people he's touched through the years and all the many souls that have come to salvation because of Brother Mike and Miss Carla's faithfulness to the Word of God, to the church, and to Jesus Christ. So Lord, we're just lifting him up, praying that you just honor your servant, and Lord, just see him through here at the last mile of his race as he runs it for you, Lord. And then as we close out our prayer time, Lord, we lift up South Korea to you and the tragedy that happened over there. We pray that you would help those families as they try to come to grips with the tragic nature of this event, of having their children literally crushed to death in a mass of people. Lord, we're thankful for all of the volunteers and the medical workers. Certainly some kids were saved, and certainly some are in grave danger even now as they are in the hospital, some in induced comas, and some no telling what the injuries are, Lord. But we just lift that situation up to you and pray that you might minister there and help those people in a big, big way. We thank you tonight for your word. We pray that our hearts and minds would be open to receive it, Lord. And we just love you for all that you're doing for us and how you're working with us. It's in your name we pray. God's people said. All right, very good. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Leviticus. All right. Leviticus. Online folks, good to see you tonight. Leviticus. We'll pick it up here at chapter 6. And we'll look at a few verses in chapter 6. So I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 14, and we're going to read verses 14 as we continue to go on about the grain offering. Leviticus 6, verse 14. If you found that this evening, would you say amen? All right, Leviticus chapter 6, beginning in verse 14, the Word of God reads this. It says, "Now this is the law of the grain offering. The sons of Aaron shall present it before the Lord in front of the altar. Then one of them shall lift up from it a handful of the fine flour of the grain offering, with its oil, and all the incense that is on the grain offering, and he shall offer it up in smoke on the altar, a soothing aroma as its memorial offering to the Lord. What is left of it, Aaron and his sons are to eat. It shall be eaten as unleavened cakes in a holy place. They are to eat it in the court of the tent of meeting. It shall not be baked with leaven. I have given it as their share from my offering by fire. It is most holy, like the sin offering and the guilt offering. Every male among the sons of Aaron may eat it. It is a permanent ordinance throughout your generations, from the offerings by fire to the Lord. Whoever touches them will become consecrated." Amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God, and may He add His tremendous blessing to it. Now we continue on with the distinctives of the grain offering. That's kind of where we left it off. And as we closed it out on Wednesday evening, we said the grain offering could be offered to God. It could be offered cooked or uncooked. And if it were cooked, it could be cooked in a variety of ways. Verses 1 through 3 of Leviticus chapter 2 prescribe the offering of uncooked grain, while verses 4 through 10 regulate the offering of that grain which is cooked. It could be cooked in an oven, verse 4 talks about, or a griddle, verse 5 alludes to, or even in a pan, as verse 7 speaks about. All of these options, as we closed it out last time, we said suggested freedom as to what form the offering can take within the parameters that God has set. God set some boundaries, He set some parameters, and within that, He allowed His people some freedom when it came to this grain offering. Now, in today's terms, we tried to get a little variety talking about that. We talked about, you know, you could offer flour mixed with oil, or you could offer bread, or you could offer pancakes, or you could offer sweet rolls, or even donuts, we mentioned. But as we move on this evening, the grain offering was distinct in what additional ingredients were either prohibited or prescribed. There were some forbidden ingredients for the grain offering, and that was what? You couldn't put any leaven in it, right? No yeast and no honey. If you were going to sweeten it, you had to sweeten it with something else. No leaven, no honey. Now, no specific reason for this prohibition is given, although at the institution of the Passover, leaven, yeast, was prohibited at this meal per Exodus chapter 12, verse 15, and Exodus 12, verse 19. When we look at the Bible, though, leaven is not mentioned in the Bible before this Exodus account. That's where we first see it, in this Exodus account. A key to the significance of leaven may be found in Exodus chapter 23, where it reads in Exodus chapter 23, verse 18, the Word of God reads, "You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, nor is the fat of my feast to remain overnight until morning." Exodus chapter 23, verse 18. So the blood sacrifice cannot be what? It cannot be associated with leaven. Leaven, when we think about yeast, products that have yeast in them, they tend to spoil. That bread that we use for the Lord's Supper, that stuff has an expiration date. It's on out there, man. I mean, it's on out there, unleavened. Keep it sealed up. Keep it out of the sun. Keep the air off of it. It'll keep. Loaf of bread, got a little honey in it. Got plenty of yeast in it. You don't knock that out in about a week, You're going to need to be throwing that out, right? Because it'll start to get what? Moldy, amen? Now, I don't know if you've ever been so hungry and so poor. We just pull that mold part off and keep on trucking, amen? But that's what we did back in the day. But you got to get that stuff gone, right? The blood sacrifice, no leaven. What does that relate to? Spoilage. That is, the blood sacrifice cannot be associated with corruption, the spoilage, which leaven and leaving meats overnight both are known to produce. I want to say I did a little research on this week, and I want to say, because I was really kind of intrigued by that, but the temperature, I want to say the temperature between 40 degrees and 140 degrees Fahrenheit is the magic temperature range for pathogens and bacteria to really take off and grow. So that's why no sugar, and then that's why it says you shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, nor is the fat of my feast to remain overnight. Didn't have refrigeration back in the day. The fat of my feast to remain overnight until morning. Now we know renderings. We know fat, just straight up fat, will not spoil overnight. But I think what we're referring to here in Exodus 23:18 are those fatty meats, right? Still got some meat in there, not just renderings, right? I mean, that stuff will keep for a long time. You go into Bucky's, they cut that stuff by the 5 gallons, amen? And it's not in the refrigerator. Just sitting right out there in the open. Those renderings will keep a long, long time. Amen, you with me? So the blood sacrifice cannot be associated with leaven or with spoilage. That is, the blood sacrifice cannot be associated with corruption, which leaven and leaving meats overnight are known to produce. And so the absence of leaven in the sacrifice was also a reminder of God's deliverance in the past. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 3 says, "You shall not eat leavened bread with it." The "it" there is talking about the Passover lamb. 7 days you shall eat with it unleavened bread, the bread of affliction. For you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, so that you may remember all the days of your life, the day when you came out of the land of Egypt. So not only are leaven and honey to be absent, but there are some things that ought to be present. What are they? Salt and frankincense. Salt and frankincense are to be present in the grain offering. Now, frankincense, we know, is a sweet-smelling fragrance available in the ancient Near East. And frankincense was one of those sensory symbols. You get that frankincense going, and it smelled incredible. It was an awesome smell. It was intended to bring God a pleasing, a memorial offering, right? A fragrant offering. The expense of the frankincense wasn't cheap, was expensive. The expense of the frankincense was a reminder that costly sacrifice is worth the price. Yes? Costly sacrifice is worth the price. Amen? Pleasing God is what? Pleasing God is the highest good. Yes, yes? And so the salt, which had to be offered with the grain offering, was understood in contrast to the leaven and honey. While leaven corrupts, salt does the opposite. Salt preserves and salt purifies. Salt was thus related to purification and preservation. Gentlemen, I mentioned a couple of services ago, Lester Roloff. He believed you could treat anything and everything with salt and lemon juice. Salt and lemon juice. You got something that ails you? You need some salt and lemon juice. That's what you need, salt and lemon juice. He believed it. He preached it. I think he lived it most of the time. Salt and lemon juice, right? Salt. It is what? A preservative. It is what? A purifier. Now, beyond this, the salt that was added was identified as 2:13 states, the salt of the covenant of your God. A covenant of salt. A covenant of salt is found only elsewhere in the Bible in Numbers 18:19. In 2 Chronicles 13:15, in Ezekiel 43:24, God commands salt to be thrown on the burnt offerings. Now, we're told that salt was used symbolically in covenants of that day in the ancient Near East. And it would seem then that salt spoke not only of purity, but even more importantly, of longevity. Longevity. The salt which was added to the grain offering reminded Israel of the covenant God had made with Israel, which was an enduring covenant. I mentioned the covenant this morning during this morning's message. God hadn't, he's not done with his people, is he? No. Now, what covenant is this that I'm talking about? What covenant did I refer to this morning? What covenant are we dabbling into this evening? What is the covenant? What does this covenant have to do with the grain offering? The covenant was the Mosaic covenant. The Mosaic covenant, which promised the Israelites the presence of God and the possession of Canaan if they kept God's commandments. In Canaan, God would prosper his people. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 7 and 8 says, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs, flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey." The promise included the assurance that God would produce something for these people. That God would produce the rain, that God would produce the rain required for the harvest in this land where rain did not predictably fall, and which was not irrigated. Like where? Like Egypt. Remember Egypt, where they used to live? Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 10 and 12 says this, "For the land into which you are entering to possess it is not like the land of Egypt from which you came," Deuteronomy 11, 10 through 12, "where you used to sow your seed and water it with your foot like a vegetable garden." Now, what does it mean by watering it with your foot like a vegetable garden? They would trench these irrigation routes, right? Plenty of water and that old silty soil. Good stuff. And that water would be flowing down the little irrigation valley, the irrigation duct, and you would just come over and you say, "Well, these rows need some water." And you would just come over and you'd take your foot, and you just drag it through and open up a little channel, and the water would come flowing in. And when it was watered, you just take your heel of your foot and you'd close it back off. Well, that's how they did it when they were in Egypt. Easy peasy lemon squeezy. But not where they're going. Oh, friend, not where they're going. "But the land into which you are about to cross to possess," verse 11, Deuteronomy 11, 11, "but the land into which you are about to cross to possess it, a land of hills and valleys, drinks water from the rain of heaven." Preacher, why do you pray for rain? Because it's the rain of, yeah, it's the rain of heaven. You believe God answers our prayers when we pray for rain? I believe He does. "Drinks water from the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord your God are always on it from the beginning even to the end of the year." So what is the takeaway from Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 10 through 12? Do you see it? Do you see the takeaway there? This move to the land of Canaan. Big move. This move is going to require a radical change in the way of the life of the Israelites. They will cease to be what? They will cease to be a semi-nomadic people, right? You remember the American Indian. What did the American Indian do? They lived off the land in the buffalo. Where the buffalo went, that's where they went, right? Hey, man, there were millions and millions of buffalo roaming North America. Millions and millions. No telling how many millions, right? And they just semi-nomadic. They just went where those things. Well, these people are going to cease. God's telling them, you're going to cease to be semi-nomadic people. You're going to still have your flocks, and you're still going to have your animals, but guess what? You're going to grow the grass they eat. You're going to grow it, right? And I'm going to help you. I'm going to water the land. In other words, they're going to settle down. It's time to settle down, right? Settle down. You raise that cattle, but now we're going to grow the grain. Now we're going to grow the wheat. Now we're going to grow the barley. So the grain offering, what does it do? The grain offering anticipates this radical change, this huge change, and it serves as a reminder that the very grain which they are required to offer will be provided by who? Be provided by God. So they must trust Him to provide. They must trust Him for the rain. They must worship Him, man. Right? Now, what else do they have to do? They still have to work the land, right? I often run into people. They think it's an all or nothing proposition. It's an all God proposition. I can sit back on my hands and not do anything and just look up to the Lord, and He's going to send an angel to shovel some Gerber baby food in my mouth. And then on the other side, it's the person who says, no, it's all me. It's not God. I'm doing this. I'm my own man. I'm going to make it happen. Da, 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 da. They both wrong. God's given you the ability. He's given you the mind, right? But you need to realize everything you get, everything you have, everything that you're able to work for, it's a gift from what? It's a gift from Almighty God. It's not an either or, it's a both and. Does that make sense? God was telling His people it's going to be a both and. You're going to work that land, I'm going to send the rain, and guess what? You're going to bring in that grain offering. I'm going to smell that frankincense and see that salt light when it hits that fire. It's going to be awesome. And you're going to remember when you do that, you're going to remember that I'm your God. Amen. Folks are going to write it down in a book. Amen, amen. So they must trust Him to provide, as well as to labor diligently in their field. Still with me? Yes, yes? So that brings me now, as we kind of close it out tonight, that brings me now to the principles taught. There's some principles taught here. And when we got going with the book of Leviticus, we told you it was going to be this way. We would go through all the preliminaries, and then we would get to the meat of the matter. The principles taught by the different offerings. So the principles taught by the grain offering. And as we think about them, before we begin to pursue the principles, before we begin to sink our teeth into the principles involved in the grain offering, let me remind you firstly of the practical implications of the Exodus. The practical implications of the Exodus and the entrance into the entrance into Canaan for the Israelites, which bears on the whole matter of the grain offering. Everything's kind of tied up with this Exodus. First, the Exodus required what? It required a radical change in lifestyle. Remember, we've already talked about it, but I'm reminding you, right? They're going from a semi-nomadic to what? To settled farmers. In the book of Genesis, we see that the patriarchs were shepherds. They were shepherds. Per Genesis 43, 32. Genesis 46, 34. And thus they wandered, just like the American Indian did so many hundreds of years ago. They wandered with their herds. They wandered around. They went from place to place. Israel's wandering was especially the case when there was a shortage of grass or there was a famine. They would have to go even further, Genesis chapter 12, verse 10, Genesis 45, 5 through 11. When the Israelites left the land of Egypt, they were to possess the land of Canaan, where each tribe would be assigned a portion of the land. Is there anything wrong with land ownership? No. You mean, preacher, the government shouldn't own all the land? No. The people should own the land. And how long do they own it for? Until they get buried in it, amen? It gets passed on to somebody else, right? But it's a people's land, amen? It's a people's land, right? Thus, these shepherds would become settled farmers. Instead of tents, they now have houses, and now they've got farms, and what are they? They own these farms, and rather than to wander about like nomadic gypsies, they plant roots rather than seeking to buy grain as they once did. They would raise it themselves. That's first. The Exodus required a radical change in lifestyle. Second, the Exodus from Egypt to Canaan meant that farming would be very different in Canaan than in Egypt. Remember how different it is? As we just mentioned, as we've seen previously from our passage in Deuteronomy 11, 10 through 12, it used to be you just move the foot. You just move the foot. The foot is that high-tech tool to move that water around. That water's flowing down the channel, and you just move the foot. You make the cut with your foot. Water flows in. Water's filled it up. You close the cut up. The water keeps on going down to the next field, right? That's all changing, right? That's all changing. We can put it in Texas terms for you. You want it in Texas terms? It was the difference between dry, unirrigated farming and deep well irrigated farming. Now, have you seen those from the sky? The well irrigated farming? You seen the crop circles? UFOs didn't make those. They got that big old thing that swings. Right? It's just a larger version of what you have in your yard. Except the pipe's like that big around, and it goes. And it makes those big tractor tires. And they all got a different gearbox. And this section goes a little bit slow. And this section goes a little bit faster. This section out here goes a little bit faster. And that whole thing just moves in one piece, goes all the way around. Yeah. That's the difference. Dry, unirrigated to deep well. Yes, yes. Still with me? Amen. In Egypt, the farmer merely had to dig a trench. I've already mentioned it. I've demonstrated it with his foot. And the irrigation waters from the Nile provided the water for his parched land. But in Canaan, the people are going to have to do what? We come back to this subject. The people are going to have to do what, preacher? They're going to have to rely upon God to do what, preacher? To provide them with the rain for what, preacher? Which was required for their crops. Thus, Canaan would force the Israelites to farm by faith. Entering Canaan was a faith proposition. Living in Canaan was a faith proposition. The grain which they would raise would be that which God caused to grow and to prosper. So, in light of these changes, from nomadic to agrarian, and to the commands which God gave the Israelites pertaining to the grain offering, there are several principles which they were to learn, which are equally applicable to us as Christians today. I'll give you the first one as we close it out tonight. The first one is this: the principle of dependence upon God for the physical necessities of life. The physical necessities of life. The grain offering was one means for the Israelites to be reminded and for him to affirm in worship that God, who is not only Israel's creator, God, who is not only Israel's creator, but also her sustainer. Also her sustainer. You with me still? See, the great danger for the Israelite, once in the land of Canaan, after they've driven out all the foreigners that aren't supposed to be there anymore, all the pagan people, after they've taken care of all the pagans, right? The great danger for the Israelite, once in the land of Canaan, enjoying the blessings of God's hand, one of the great dangers is to forget where they had come from, to forget who they were, and to forget the whole reason why, friend. The whole reason why. You know why there's Jews, don't you? You know why there's Jewish people? So there'd be Jesus. That's the whole point. Amen? Yeah, so there'd be Jesus, the Redeemer of all humanity, coming through that people group. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 10 and 12 says, "Then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you great and splendid cities, which you did not build, and houses full of all good things, which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns, which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees, which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied, then watch yourself that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery." Deuteronomy goes on to say in chapter 8, verses 11 through 14, it says, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I'm commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." If there's one indictment we can make about our country, it is what? We have forgotten. Who have we forgotten, church? Forgotten the hand of Almighty God. He's not only our Creator, but He is our Sustainer. And if we would just get back to that, just get back to that, having a thankful heart, a grateful heart. I'm not talking about you right here on a Sunday night. I'm talking about the people you rub shoulders with, the people that you know out there in the world that think they're doing it on their own, right? There's no "on your own" in this deal. He's your Creator. And he's your what? Sustainer. Amen and amen. And that's why we worship. And that's why we bring glory and honor to his name. That's why we make it about him, not us. Because he's our Creator. And he's our Sustainer. Yes, yes? Amen, amen. We'll close it there. We'll pick it up on Wednesday night. Thank y'all for being here. Online folks, good to have you as well. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for all you've given to us, for all that you're going to do for us. All the promises, Lord, in heaven that you're ready to rain down on us. Lord, may we have a thankful heart, a blessed heart, a frequently giving thanks heart to you for all that you do, for all that you've done, for how you've provided and sustained. We praise you tonight. We love you for your goodness and your grace. Lord, thank you that you give us exactly what we need, when we need it, to see us through. Might not exactly be what we want, but Lord, it's so many times what we need. So we praise you for that. We thank you for that. You are an awesome God. May our worship tonight, we pray it was pleasing. We pray it was honoring of your name. And Lord, we seek to continue in that endeavor to bring glory and honor to who you are, because you've created us and because you sustain us. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, you folks are dismissed.